Welcome to the RuPaul Drag Race Recap Show for All-Stars 4, Episode 10, titled Super Queen Grand Finale. My name is Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one wonderful co-host. From AfterBuzz TV, please say...
Girl, this day has wrecked my motherfucking nerves. Help me.
To Jay Ellis. Hello, Jay Ellis.
And what? Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
I'm going very, very well. Look, Jay, we have a lot to discuss, so we are going to get right into it. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
This week, everyone loves each other. Toderick, the girls lip sync and dance to Super Queen. RuPaul changes her show to Where's the Tea. Naomi and Monique are unceremoniously eliminated, leaving Monet and Trinity as the top two all-stars of the season. After a lip sync battle for their legacies, RuPaul, in one of the most clumsily edited moments in the history of television, ruined those legacies by naming both Trinity the Tuck Taylor and Monet Exchange as the winners of All-Star 4. Jay, the twinks are shooketh. Give me two things you liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
The thing I like the most, imagine if you edited my, how bad the editing was at the end of the episode. My favorite thing about, or it's all done in ADR. So I had two things I liked, and one of them was I thought that the judges' critiques at the end were very fair and representative of the direction that the show was going, because sometimes in these finales, they just kind of praise the queens and kiss their ass at the very end. Mm-hmm. And you just don't really have a clear idea as to who they think are actually the front runners. But yeah. I thought that them pointing out Naomi and Monique's flaws really showed that we knew who the top two were going to be. And they, I think they chose valid reasons for putting Monet and Trinity in the final two. Mm-hmm. So I really liked the way that they represented themselves in the critique. And I also really, I know you can appreciate the looks, and that's how I am too, but I thought that these finale looks, like the final runway, I had some of the had some really defining moments for the queens. I think that the looks that they had were amazing. It was really fun to watch. And the thing I didn't like about this episode was the episode. I felt like All Stars 4 was a really fun season, and then this episode it kind of not fell apart, because anytime I'm watching Drag Race is a good time, like I always have fun, but it just felt like this episode, I don't know, it didn't feel like it had that same format where it rolled smoothly from the podcast to the choreography to the final presentation. Like with the I'm thinking about season 10 where we had Eureka, Aquaria, Asia, like where they're doing their movements and it goes to a different part of the stage, so the camera work on this one just didn't move right for me. The fog on the stage, I could see them looking for their marks sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they were saying about Trinity looking for, like feeling like she was looking for her next step, which I noticed as well. But I kind of think that they were kind of sabotaging each one of the queens by having this all done on one stage without that much, without the proper blocking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of things were very, very rushed.
Yeah.
On this. And cause I was actually thinking, when did they film this music video? There's a part of me, I have no proof of this, it's just speculation, because they don't really reference the music. Oh, they do reference the music video in their critiques. Never mind. All right, here's the thing. It was hard for me to find things to like about this episode, I'll be honest with you. But I did like Trinity's runway outfit.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was cute, even though I'll talk about during the looks. I really do like it when they bring back former contestants. And so I like seeing Alaska. I like seeing Trixie. I like seeing Chad. We don't see Chad as much. Also, Alaska with the Team Katya umbrella, I think, stole the show.
Yeah, that was great.
That was so funny. And Jay, for the first time in RuPaul's Drag Race recap history, I have a double crowning for the one thing I didn't like.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it.
The horrible editing at the finale, which I'm sure we'll discuss in detail, if we haven't discussed it in detail for 15 minutes.
Right.
But that horrible editing of that finale, which I was thinking right now, I was like, because, you know, Trinity and Monet were originally supposed to be at Roscoe's for the live finale.
Right.
And at the last minute, WoW had them cancel it, and they flew out to LA and they filmed it in LA somewhere, I think by the Ace Hotel, because then they came out with Kacey Musgraves later while she was doing a show. And they filmed them getting the reactions live, but I was like, well, if you filmed them out live, why not just, because they, on All Stars 2, we know that they told the girls right before the reunion, look, this is who won, okay?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense? Like, who really cares about a live reaction? Just say, look, you're both the fucking winners. We need to redo, because they could have reshot on the stage, you know, or at least made it look like some, they could have put thrown something together and at least have them walk down together and then cut in the other girls reacting on the sides, you know? And then that would have looked at least a little better.
It was just harsh for them to even, because they weren't really even acknowledging the fact that they were editing it so weird until they did the split screen of them both walking back to the stage and then forward. I was like, oh, so now they're kind of acknowledging the fact that it's that they didn't plan this at all. Or
and it's also in their hand that even they don't make it a big secret that they taped two different versions.
Oh yeah, I know that. Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, to the person who may not have known that before this episode, I think it was clear now, because everything Rue said was not, it was all 80 yard in, and it was just reaction shots from everybody, that whole like 10 seconds of them announcing both queens. It was just, if you didn't know that before, it's now you know.
And the other thing I didn't like was, and look, we'll get into this during this segment. I'm sure I'll go off on it then too, is, but please tell me, maybe you can defend this person. I cannot stand this Todrick Hall. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of people who agree with me. I made a post on our Instagram feed this week. It was the biggest post we've ever had. Over 4,000 people liked the photo that I put on Instagram that was anti-Todrick. So there's a lot of anti-Todrick out there, and I'm one of those people. And I have evidence from this episode, but are you a Todrick fan? Where do you fall on this Todrick Hall?
I actually did not know who he was until season 8. Yeah, and I think that's when he first became involved in the show. Maybe I'm messing up the timeline there. But I feel like, as far as I don't go out of my way to listen to his music or watch his videos, so I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I only really know him through the show, so that's kind of where my perception of him comes in. Mm-hmm. I do think that he creates appropriate choreography. I dance and stuff, so I think that his style of dance fits mm-hmm. the lyrics and the vibe of what the show is going for. Mm-hmm. So I do want to give him that. And I will say for this episode, I thought he was toned down so much and he seemed like he was having more fun. I kind of want to say that they gave him notes to not, like, we're not going to play the shade rattle every time somebody like misses a finger gun, you know, one way versus another or whatever. Because sometimes mm-hmm. he's way too harsh on them.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to be I don't know. It's a thing, but go ahead.
Yeah. As far as, but I'm saying he accomplishes his mission as far as getting the choreo for the girls that they need. I think that it's an appropriate thing, but for him as a judge and stuff, he's not one that I look forward to, or when he's on there, I'm just like, okay, like Todrick's here. I'm very baseline about him.
And then when RuPaul says family, I'm like, ugh, I can't believe he's in that family.
Yeah. Would love to work with him, but.
Well, that's the thing is, here's the weird thing for me is I have very good, sometime guest co-host Jake Dupree really good friends with him.
Yeah.
I have actual really good friends of mine who are really good friends with him. And it hurts me. And I don't ever tell, and I didn't even told Jake that he literally makes me my white knuckles when he's on the air. Makes me so ever, you know what too? I was very indifferent towards him as well until I really felt he fucked over Thorgy during the All Stars 3 live show. And ever since then, I've just had this deep seated hatred for Todrick. And I'll even say this, he did a fantastic job on that Kitty Girls choreography.
Mm-hmm. That was appropriate. I when we talk about the dance segment, I think I have a little bit more about the actual steps and the workload that each queen is given.
All right. Well, you know what we're going to do right now? Why don't we, that was very good. Why don't we take this time now and we're going to take a break, and then we will be back right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi guys, this is Bob the Drag Queen, and you're listening to Drag Race Recap on Afterthought Media.
Oh, thanks, Bob. We're back. Hi,
hey, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
You can go. Yeah, go over there. I have your drinks over there. Go ahead. Bob is when we covered the finale for season 9. My co-host Lorraine Love, or AKA Mark J. Freeman, Bob was a fan of the recaps and knew who we were, and was very fun and very, I mean, just one of the winners that I think truly was one of the deserved winners.
Mm-hmm. I know what's kind of sucky is he got fucked over because it was a short season, and then that's when they premiered All Stars 2, like right after.
Right. Yeah. That's
when our later.
Yeah. That's when the fatigue starts to. I think that's when my not fatigue, because it's like I said, I always will love Drag Race, but with the announcement of UK season 11 coming right now, it's just like, man, I would love to just take a breath. And I don't know how you feel, but it's just, you are just going to be working around the clock again.
Yeah, but here's the deal, like, I, you know, not to be all like show businessy on the air right here, but like, you know, my manager a couple weeks ago was, you know, having to talk with me, and he was like, well, you know, some people brought up a concern, like, what are you going to do when the season's done? I was like, oh, I think we're going to like a no more this, maybe like the summer you have off.
Right.
I told my God, they're doing this Drag Race UK. It's going to be, I'm assuming, in the fall.
Yeah.
They're filming in a few weeks. And I'm assuming we're going to get that in the fall. And then we're going to go right into All Stars, and it's back into season 12. And
yeah, I mean, it's really a good problem to have, honestly, because it's like our favorite show gets year round coverage. It's just, I'm afraid that they get burnt out as well.
The audience totally gets burned out. Yeah. What they should do is they should make season 11 like a summer show. Space it out with a few months in between.
Agreed. I think that would actually thrive in the summer. It'd be a great summer, like, go to a bar in a tank top and watch it. I don't know.
I agree with you. I agree.
But here we are.
After Latrice's elimination, the girls walk back into the workroom to remove their drag. Trinity explains her decision for choosing Latrice's lipstick. The girls once again recap their scorecards, and Monique Hart fakes out Monet Exchange about the name on Monique's lipstick. The next day, the girls walk back into the workroom, where Naomi promptly spanks Trinity right before RuPaul entered the workroom to announce this week's Maxi Challenge. The girls will be dancing and singing their own lyrics to RuPaul's new track, Super Queen. They will be choreographed by Todrick Hall. And then they will also be a guest on RuPaul's podcast, What's the Tea, with Michelle Visage. Jay, there's not much to discuss here, but your thoughts on this little opening bit here with the cold open and then the, hey, everyone.
Yeah, they justified why Trinity had pulled the trees. I like that Monet kind of question, like, well, what did she say? I do like when they do that. I noticed, I don't want your input. Did you notice that Monique was just completely on the side, sitting on the table, just looking down, and just kind of seemed out of the conversation at this point?
Yes, I did actually clock that, which is funny that you say that. And now I didn't think to speculate as to why. Did you have an idea?
Well, I'm wondering if they said, we're going to give Trinity her moment to explain why she sent Latrice home. So Trinity, you're over here, because she was by the mirror, and then the three other contestants were kind of back by the workroom. Mm-hmm. And then they gave Monique her time on the couch. So, I mean, I'm just wondering if somebody stepped in and said, can y'all just like let Trinity get out her thing, and then we'll get to you, Monique? Because Monique just looked kind of sad. I don't know. It was like, I'm just so used to her being loud and happy and just kind of in the scene. And then I just know, my eye just went to her, and I was like, oh, she's just looking down. And like, maybe she just hit her point of like, I don't want to be in this drag anymore. I don't know.
It should be exhausted. Another thing could be too is going, and this is pure obvious, just armchair speculation here, but it could be as well that, you know, she felt she needed the actual winning of the lip sync going into the final four.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, Trinity, who was already so ahead anyway, got it. And that she was a little upset about that, but then she seemed fine on the couch.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, that's what I think.
She was more subdued.
Yeah, I like the fake out of her saying, "Monet, I don't want to do this in front of America," but I thought that was like really clever and cute. And that was like, that's the Monique that I really like. Yeah. So I thought that that was a fun little thing. It is weird because at that moment when they're all on the couch, I'm like, oh, this is our final four. And it just didn't register until that point that these were the contestants that I had to pick one to root for.
Well, look, now you're getting to, I mean, we're getting to a deeper topic here. Maybe we can do this now because there's not much else to discuss in this segment. Was this the final four that should have been there? Like, if you could have picked the final four, you know what? I want to do this right now. This actually was my original intention. For those of you listening, I'll talk about this later. Patreon supporters got an extended version of this episode. So Jay and I read it earlier, and I was originally going to bring this up then. But I'll bring it up here now. I want to go through each queen, and I'm going to ask you, did they go home at the right time? So the first one to go home was Jasmine Masters. Did she go home at the right time?
I'm basing this solely not on how much I like the queen, but just their performance on the show. So yes, Jasmine deserved to go home after that challenge.
Pheromone.
I just can't imagine her going past that. So yes.
Okay. Who was after Pheromone? I've already forgotten the whole season.
I believe it was Gia Gunn.
Oh, you're right. It was Gia Gunn. I'm pulling up on Wikipedia what the order was.
I think I have it. But yeah, Gia Gunn. I would have loved for Gia to have stayed a little bit more, but I don't think she was willing to give the competition everything that she... I don't think she was willing to give the competition. So I think she was... I think that was a good... That was fine for her to go home. But okay. And then... But I have it with an asterisk next to it. So yes, at that point, she should have gone home.
You know what's so funny is I'm looking at this right now, and this just seems, because we had those two extra episodes in between. Yeah. I was like, Valentina went home next, but we missed. Okay, so let me go back. Now, I'm not going to do the order that the show is in. I'm actually going to go in the correct order. So after Gia Gunn, we lost Latrice for the first time. Latrice go home the correct? Was that correct for her to go home then?
Latrice was flailing in the competition. I think she should have been, like, her and Gia Gunn could have been interchangeable for me because that snatch game match game thing was a wreck for both of them. So I think either of them could have gone at that point.
Valentina.
Valentina. she went on the Club 96 challenge, right?
Yeah.
That was an appropriate time for her to go, I think. But I would have liked for her to have gone a little bit longer because I was just enjoying watching her.
Go ahead. No, go finish your thought. Sorry.
I also wanted to say, I think that Gia should have came back into the competition. This is nothing new that nobody hasn't said before, but I think Gia should have come back into the competition as opposed to Latrice, because I think Gia would have given something great for that club challenge. That would have been fun to watch.
It would have been amazing television.
Agreed.
Valentina, I think both seasons, 9 and All Stars 4, the person who really sends home Valentina is Valentina.
Yeah.
There seems to be about 2/3 of the competition. She just gets fucking bored of it and tired, and she's just done, and she self-sabotages.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. When she started doing that weird character where she became a little boy, it was really, really weird. I don't know. Yeah. So it was the right time for her to go home, but it was her own damn fault in a weird kind of way. Mm-hmm. All right. Next one, this is what I'm really getting at.
Manila should not. Just because I think she was doing so well in the competition, and I get Naomi's reasoning for sending her home. And who else had her lipstick in? Was that Monet? Monet was also going to send Manila home. So to me, I'm like, wow. Like, to send home such a huge competitor is major for the competition, because you just open up the doors for anybody now. Mm-hmm. But I was not ready for Manila to go home, and I am surprised that producers didn't step, or that nobody stepped in at that point, because there's a queen of color who was reigning champion of the game. That just seems like the clear front runner and winner if they wanted to check all the boxes of diversity, talent, charisma, uniqueness, you know, we get everything all in one queen.
So let's say they bring you in season 10 episode, brand new twist. You get to switch out any one of the top four for Manila. Who are you switching out?
I'm sorry, what season?
All Stars 4.
Oh, All Stars 4. I think you said season 10, but...
Oh, did I? Oh,
sorry. I was like, Eureka.
Cameron Michaels.
Yeah, Cameron, that would... Who?
Exactly. For everyone listening, I feel that Jay is the voice doppelganger of Cameron Michaels.
I've, the voice hasn't been in my ears for so long, so I don't remember. As far as All-Stars 4, who would I switch out for Manila? I would take out, just based off of performance, because it's kind of like Trinity. I like to see the best of the best. I think Naomi was lowest on the totem pole for me, so that would be Manila's spot.
Okay, very good. I understand. Okay, and then would you think Manila would have won if she would have made it?
Let's see. The challenge was choreo, which I don't think I've seen Manila do dancing like that. So, but I think she would thrive, at least be in a top two contention, like a contender for the top two.
So one thing I was thinking about later. Let me ask you this final question. I have another topic.
Okay.
Is, do you think Manila should have won All Stars 4? Do you think she's the true winner? Is she the Ben de la Creme or Shangela of All Stars 3?
My gut is yes. And I think solely because I think she knows music. So as far as writing lyrics and stuff, I think that it would have been really fun to see what she provided. But she is the one who I think when we think back of the show, we'll be like, oh man, Manila was bringing it. So yeah, I think Manila would have been a great winner. Do you think that? Is that where your mind is?
Well, it is where my mind is. But I was thinking, everyone's always talking about a winner season. Winner season, winner season, winner season. And I was thinking this morning, I didn't put too much thought into it. I wanted to do it right here with you on the air. I'm thinking you could do a rob season. People who were robbed, you know?
Like gone too soon.
Gone too soon, or they should have won the crown. Like, for instance, first person that comes to mind you always hear about is Raven.
Right. Yeah.
Then we have Manila. That was even before All Stars 4. There was always this Manila was robbed thing. You have Shangela. I'm making a list right now. You have Shangela.
Alyssa, Juju, Ben. Yeah, like there's so many.
Ben kind of robbed himself.
Who?
Ben de la Creme.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, I don't think Ben would go back to the show at this point. I think that's pretty clear. You're
saying Juju? No, actually, Ben in an interview said he would go back.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, it is an interview recently that he'd go back. Juju, who else did you say? Well, we'll put Ben in there. Who else has been robbed?
I feel like Pandora got shafted on All Stars 1.
Pandora, but I'll put her on the list. Fine. You know why, though? I don't agree with you, but just so we can prove once and for all she's stupid and dumb, and no, she wasn't. Okay? It's like, okay, fine, shut up. Here's your chance. Is there anybody else who was Latrice is no longer on that list. She got her second chance. And I think she's not good at the competition.
It was kind of like Roxy Andrews for me. That was Latrice's performance, was Roxy Andrews, where you could see the prestige drag, but mm-hmm. it just wasn't coming through on the show for us.
I think I'd throw in Shea Coulee on there.
Oh, Shea Coulee. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I would ever say this contestant is raw, but I think deserves another chance at the crown is Detox.
Yeah, I would. When I look back at All Stars 2, you and I have talked about how much we love Alaska, but that mm-hmm. really could have gone to Detox or Katya mm-hmm. so easily.
Katya I'll put on there too. So we have 9 so far, and I'm sure we'll hear from others, but you know, if you just need 10, I mean, I don't know who the 10th person would be. Oh, I think you said Alyssa, but I don't know. I don't think Alyssa's that good at the competition.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to see her, but do you ever feel that Alyssa was robbed?
I think Alyssa got what she needed out of the show, so no.
You know, I think maybe
the princess, Sasha Bell.
Yeah, I was thinking of Kenya Michaels.
Who's that? Porkchop would be robbed. That's a fun one.
Oh yeah, Porkchop you could say was robbed. Also, you know, some might actually say Chanel. I wouldn't. Oh, Nina Flowers.
Yeah,
some
Nina, Flowers. Say, yeah. Nina Flowers. Yeah, Angina. Now we're just doing fan favorites. I mean, really, they could do a fan favorites version of the show, and that would be fun. But then again, it just gets into that scary territory of people.
Stacey Lane Michaels.
Well, Stacey Matthews. Matthews.
Yeah. Stacey Lane Matthews.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah. So, but I think I'd rather, to be honest with you, looking at this list, what we have here is, it sounds like I'd rather see this season of Raven, Manila, Shangela, Jujubee, Ben, Pandora, Shay, Detox, Katya, Nina Flowers. And I had another one that popped in my head, but I can't remember who it is. Eureka. And and Charlie Hides. But
oh, man, that lip sync.
So Okay, well, let's move on. That was a great thing to do in that segment because there was nothing much to say there. In the workroom, Monet plans to tie her lyrics back to the challenge. Monique and Monet have a heart-to-heart about the importance of a black queen winning the crown. Naomi talks about how skilled she is, while Trinity reveals that she's nervous because of the choreography and her poor performance in the season 9 group number. Trinity then tells us she's going to win. On the main stage with Todrick Hall, the girls get to work on their choreography. Trinity doesn't feel confident in her dancing skills. Naomi flirts with her dancer, and Todrick reads her for it. Monet can't cartwheel, and neither can Monique for that matter. Trinity appears to struggle with her moves, while Naomi impresses everyone with her ability to be lifted in the air. Jay Ellis, don't you even know that dancer that was Naomi was flirting with?
Yeah, his name's Walker. Him and I worked on something together a while back.
Oh, okay. So what were your thoughts here on the workroom? A lot of the, again, this usually happens towards the end where a lot of the workroom is very just like, oh, isn't this wonderful what we've been doing and all these wonderful things that have been happening. We're all so wonderful and we love each other. Yeah. So it's really not much in terms of like drama, but what were your thoughts on these two segments?
With the workroom, I don't have so much to say because you're right. It's kind of them, they just are kind of airing, they're kind of foreshadowing what we're expected to believe, like Trinity saying, I can dance, but I'm not a choreography. Like, you know, she's given us that. So we're like already expecting that she's going to flail around the stage. The main stage, I think, is where I can talk a little bit more about actually seeing them put the money where the mouth is.
Yeah.
Trinity sucked, you know, like that is true. But what I liked about her and appreciated is that she was marking and following along and saying, well, she wasn't. Sometimes we see the contestants just like let out their air and go, I can't do this. I'm stuck. I'm lost. And then I feel like she kept trying and trying and trying, which I really appreciated. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you see Monet, who is just nailing it. But I think that comes from doing theater. And some people's brains just pick up choreo so much faster.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to watch the difference between those two. As far as Naomi and Monique, I don't really have any standout moments for them. I do like that you say it in the script that Naomi impresses everybody with her ability to be lifted in the air. And there is a physicality to being lifted. Uh-huh. And singing, but when you're lip syncing, you're not worried about where the hands are or where your breath is, because you know when singers get lifted up, it is an impressive thing to keep in control of their breath and their rhythm. But lip syncing, it feels like they took a lot of her workload off from Naomi because she's only in control of so much. Mm-hmm. And there is a trust. I don't want to take it away. There is a trust that you have to have with the dancers that they're holding you and that you're steady and stuff, and you just feel rickety the whole time.
But wait, have you been lifted like that?
No, I've been on the other end where I've had to lift people. And if one person's uneven, you just notice. You can tell.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm trying to remember if I have been lifted in something, but I don't think I ever have been, especially not live performing.
So, but now what's the story? Okay, let's get the tea since you know Walker. Is he single? Do you think he would hook up with Naomi? Is she his type?
Ooh, that's a question that I would have had. I would have to ask him about that. I do think he's single. I don't know what his type is, though. He works so much. I mean, he goes back to look back at any of the old dance numbers. He's in the one with Jake Dupree. He's been working with them, I think, since season 9 for category is. So he's been pretty active working with them. I don't know what his type is or what his status is, but he's Walker2Lit on Instagram if you want to find him.
Oh, okay. Well, look, I don't see how Naomi isn't everybody's type. I think Naomi is so, so gorgeous and so cute in any, both boy and girl. Okay, so here's what I wanted to say. Okay, one, this Todrick with his, she's, you know, flirting with this Walker guy, and he's like, okay, it's fine. Like, come on, Naomi, pay attention, right? But then it becomes like, it's people who don't pay attention or care, they're the ones that usually go home. And I was like, why was that comment necessary? That's part I don't get. Why was that comment necessary?
Yeah, I remember on the edit bay, they were like, let's make it look like it was Trinity because Trinity's laughing. And then they remember in the coming up, your favorite, that's kind of like my favorite part of the show now, is they're like coming up and then they show something like totally misdirection.
Yeah, it's 100% a lie. They did it again too when during the judges critiques where Michelle gave some sort of negative critique, and I think they showed Trinity again.
Yeah,
where it seemed like she's telling Trinity this negative, and it wasn't to her at all.
Right.
Yeah, and then Todrick tells Trinity, and I actually, because I watched this episode twice. I had the luxury of watching it twice, or the burden. And What I would say is he tells Trini at one point, because she's like, first of all, she says, don't give me hard choreography. And then he gives her the hardest choreography, right? But I'm going to come back to this in a second.
Yeah, she's going on like half beats versus everybody else. They're getting like these full fleshed out. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and then he goes, well, it's because you wrote those lyrics and those lyrics maybe give you hard choreography. I'm like, so then on the second time I really listened to the lyrics, she's just like, one, two, three, four, you know, show the people what she wore. It's like, what about this that you need to have like these really intricate lyrics? That's the part I didn't get. And I listened to the lyrics again, like, why? But I think, again, going for the winner's edit, she of all in the final video, and I guess I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, she had the most wow factor, and she's the last one of all the dance numbers. Like, they have flags, and there's a whole thing with her number. I don't know if you had a thought on that.
As far as her choreography being the hardest?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that when you actually watch, because I think this is more relevant to like my music video segment, but because mm-hmm. you see all of the work actually all put together of all the, like what they had to do. Mm-hmm. And her, Monet and Monique have the same flow and kind of the same idea as far as choreography. I would say Monet had maybe a little bit of a harder section, mm-hmm. but then Naomi kind of gets this breakdown in the song where it really slows down, which affects the choreography. But then Trinity gets this fast rap. So it's kind of, I don't know if they told them to switch it up or if that's just how Trinity wrote her verse. Mm-hmm. But that kind of song or that kind of style really speaks to that kind of choreography. So I could see Todrick, his point a little bit of, mm-hmm. I wanted to keep the, because if he's doing slow choreo with this fast paced rap, mm-hmm. it's not going to match. So that's what I'm saying. The workload is just so divided between all the different contestants. And I would say the quote unquote easiest is Naomi.
But you're speaking to the music. He says he blames her. He goes, well, you wrote those lyrics and yeah. how to make the choreography to the lyrics. I could see like, well, that's just the part where you're at. And, you know, that makes more sense. But he's blaming her. I don't like this Todrick Hall. Stop trying to defend him. I don't know what. I don't know why you're so into this Todrick Hall.
I'm definitely not into him. I'm just saying as a choreographer, he gave each one a different style, which is kind of hard for one person to create for four different queens mm-hmm. and to suit each one. And for Trinity, I think she took the criticism on the stage and then actually performed. Like, and if you look back at category is, because I think I've watched it probably more than you have, she had some pretty hard movements in that piece as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't think that she's, I think she underestimates herself for how well she's able to learn choreography.
All right, let's move on. On the What's the Tea podcast, Monet reveals that she wanted to impress Rue and Michelle with her improved runway. Monique used to run an ex-gay ministry as a 300-pound closet case. Naomi was hurt by Rue and Michelle thinking she was unrelatable, and Trinity thinks All Stars is harder than her initial season. Moving on to Elimination Day, it's Elimination Day, and the girls walk into the workroom only to be surprised by the three Hall of Fame winners, Chad Michaels, Alaska, and Trixie Mattel. The girls all kiki, and the contestants share their feelings before the winners walk out the door, and Alaska wins the whole season with her Team Katya umbrella. Later, the girls talk about their experiences before Trinity wishes everyone good luck. Jay Ellis, your thoughts on the What's the Tea podcast segment and the Elimination Day? Go.
The What's the Tea podcast segment is kind of like our mirror moments or like the Tic Tac lunch now.
Tic Tac lunch, yeah.
Yeah, so we kind of get that. I don't really have too much. I think that we knew kind of each contestant's gripe with the judges coming in. Like, Monet wants to prove that her runways are better, and she's been talking about that all season, how she's elevated her drag. Mm-hmm. The biggest shock to me was Monique about the ex-gay ministry 300-pound.
Yeah.
I don't think that was revealed at all this whole season. Or did I miss that section? I don't remember this.
Did you hear it today or did you not hear it?
On the show. That's what I'm saying is I haven't, in the past season on 10 and on All Stars 4, I don't think that's been a narrative piece for Monique at all.
No, not even. You would think even just the her losing weight would come up.
Yeah,
you know, for instance, you would think they would find any, like, they love a fat person, you know, they love any kind of big fat pig turning into a thin person.
Don't joke about that.
Sorry, Sasha, but you know,
that's my favorite. Yeah,
but and I'm surprised it hasn't ever come up before.
That's what I'm saying, is to lay out so much story that we just didn't have and save it for the what's the tea. I don't know if it was strategy or if that's where the conversation was. I'm not a regular listener to What's the Tea, so I don't think I'll ever know the answer to that question. But to for her to hold that information back, it seems like prime, juicy meat for them to have used as a good story for her.
You think we would have seen more of it, though? You think we would have seen more, like, going into it? It's like, oh, really? That's cool. Moving on. And you're like, wait, what? I needed that. You know, to be honest with you, that's two whole mirror moments in one little throwaway sentence. The ex-gay ministry, that's a whole mirror moment. The 300 pounds, that's a whole mirror moment.
Did you see that RuPaul was more impressed by the 300 pounds and getting thin than the ex-military gay conversion?
Don't joke about that.
Sorry, Sasha. RuPaul goes 300 pounds. And then when it's the ex-gay, like, conversion, like a story, like this narrative that is hurting so many more people, they're just like, oh, you led that.
Like, there's two things. If you ever listen to What's the Tea that RuPaul loves, she loves people turning thin, and she's always fascinated by how actors memorize lines. You're noticing when you're listening to the show, like, anytime they have it, it could be whatever actor, it could be like whoever. She was like, here's what I don't get. How do you guys memorize all those lines?
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And so as you think, you either told me off the air, you said it on there, there really isn't much meat to this episode. It's not necessarily a horrible episode, but there's just not much to it. The what's the tea? We didn't really get much tea. We just talked about it right now with Monique. It literally is Trinity. What she talks about is how All Stars was harder than her initial season.
And I think their response should have been, it should be, because you're competing against yourself. We're and Michelle says that.
Yeah. And you're also competing against much stronger contestants.
Right. Yeah. You're not getting as many filler queens as, I mean, these are kind of, they try to get like a good crop of queens.
Yeah. Like Trinity, if you think about it, in a real season, there's only about half of them are actually any good. You know, she had Trinity the first few weeks, she had to deal with James Mansfield and who else was on that season?
That was Kamora Black.
Oh yeah, Kamora Black and Charlie Hides and Cynthia Lee Fontaine. It's like
cuckoo. I think you mean cuckoo.
Yeah. I should pull the clip when she does the funeral for the chair.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember when she does that, like, we bless this chair, it give good chair, you know, like,
yeah, I forgot about that moment. That was funny. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Jay, I don't know. Have you ever heard of Dragula, the search for the world's first drag super monster?
I have, ugly. That's my knowledge. Yeah.
It's hosted by the Boulay brothers, Dracamorta and Swanthula. Well, I don't know if you know this, but my pal. Oh, you know what? This, you know, would be really appropriate here. I think we should have some music here. Why don't we have a little bit of some of our Dragula music here? And I'll play it really low underneath while we talk about this. And I don't want to do that one. All right, well, let's do it anyway. My friend Lori Roggenkamp and I, we host a show about Dragula. It's a recap. You know, we recap RuPaul's Drag Race here?
Mm-hmm.
We recap Dragula, the search for the world's first drag super monster, hosted by the Boulay brothers. We did it on Patreon. We started in October of last year. Okay. And now we finished the whole run of the show thus far. We're releasing it into the wild, Jay. And now I announced it last week on the show, but it took forever for iTunes to approve it. Now it's available wherever you get your podcasts. You can go on iTunes, or what if you call it Apple Podcasts, I don't care. It's on Spotify. It's on Overcast if you use that app. It's on everywhere. Okay, Jay? It's everywhere. And I'm going to tell you something here. If you're a big fan of Dragula and you like love the Boulay brothers and everything they do, don't listen to this podcast. It's pretty much me and Lori making fun of the Boulay brothers and Dragula every single episode. Okay.
If people just want content, do they have to watch the show or can they just listen to the podcast?
That's a really good point, Jay. I'm going to tell you something, because the most of our fans of our show from Patreon were like, Joe, I didn't even watch the show. I would just listen, because let me tell you guys something. This show is so horrible. You'd be so angry with me if you actually listened to if you watched the show. Just listen to our version over there on Patreon. No, not Patreon. iTunes. OK, Okay, I'm going to edit that out. No, I'm not. I'm going to put a bleep. But iTunes, Spotify, you don't have to watch the show. But if you do want to watch it, though, Jay, you can watch it on YouTube, and it's on Amazon Prime. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to go over, find Hello Uglies. Now, there's two Hello Uglies. I'm going to stop the music there. I don't need that anymore. There are two Hello Uglies, okay? There's another one, and they're fine, whatever. They do their thing. But then there's one with this beautiful cup. Jay, have you seen the cover art for this Hello Uglies?
The one that Bookworms made for you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The talented artist ZZZ Bookworm ZZZ. That's where you can find her on Instagram. You can go look at her art. She did the cover. It's me and Lori Roggenkamp a la the Boulay brothers on the cover. So the one that has like, the beautiful cover, that's our show. You got to go find this Hello Ugly. I'm going to tell you something. I will say this, okay? Episode 2 is very whatever, but episode 3, hilarious. I'm going to tell you something, Jay. Episode 4 might be one of the funniest episodes of podcasting I've ever done. Okay. If you guys want to start with those, I don't care. But anyway, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, go to wherever you get your podcast, download, subscribe, and write a review of the show. Believe it or not, especially at this early stage, that's really important. One more thing about Patreon. All the people who support us on Patreon, they got this episode as soon as it was done, immediately, like live the tape kind of thing, right? You have an edited version of the show, a truncated version, because also the people on Patreon got an extended segment. I'm going to tell you something. Jay and I did a super in-depth, I want to say like 20 minutes, about stupid shit that I've done, but mostly about the finale and what we thought about the ending. So if you just like want more Drag Race content, Jay and I did a whole extra 15 minutes just about Drag Race. And Patreon supporters got that at the top of the show. So go on over to patreon.com/dragracerecap and sign up at the $3 level. That's the one with the Latrice Royale, the Eat It level. And you're going to get all this content. I usually list all the shows, Jay, but I think that's too long. I spent so much time talking about this Dragula. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, look up Hello Uglies, not Dragula. Hello Uglies. Talking about this Hello Uglies. And now I waste it on Patreon. But anyway, patreon.com/dragracerecap, $3 a month. You get the show early and you get extra stuff. So that's once again, patreon.com/dragracerecap. All right, we're going to take a break right there and we'll be right back. And we're back. Okay, the first thing we saw when we came back was the music video for Super Queen. Jane, do you want to give your thoughts on this music video?
We talked a little bit about it, but I overall didn't like the format, the blocking. The dance was fun. I couldn't tell you a single lyric if my life depended on it. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that stood out. Monet really did do a great job with the choreography. Mm-hmm. God, the only costume that stood out was Naomi. I thought that her jumpsuit, it was kind of like a cool leather jumpsuit, was the strongest standout for me. Mm-hmm. The way they moved through each segment kind of was like a rough transition. I don't know. I like the inclusion of the previous All-Stars being back there just to give them a little bit more something to do. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't like the song. I didn't like the presentation. It was definitely in more recent years my weakest of them all.
You know what's really funny is I actually really do like the runway version of Super Queen. I think it's fun. I haven't listened to, I've only listened to what they played on the runway. I've actually never listened to the song.
Right.
But from what they play on the runway, I think it's really fun. I don't know why they didn't do just a version of that. They did like almost like a slowed down, like, hipstery version of the song, which I thought was a very strange choice, especially for such a high energy dance number.
And there was no tying chord. Like in Reggie Wrote You, there was that tying force to kind of give us a break where they came back together as a group and did the choreography. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we didn't have anything that tied the song together. It just felt very thrown against the wall. It was a rough one.
You're right. And you're right. That Reggie Wrote You and even Kitty Girl and stuff like that, they had these moments where you could like take a breath.
Right.
Okay. Because it's a lot of like sensory overload, and you get a chance to like take a breath and then like absorb whatever the visual nonsense they're going to throw at you.
Yeah.
You know, I was really impressed that they were able to get that choreography down in time the way they did. I actually don't think anyone did terribly on the choreography.
Agreed.
You know what I couldn't see, and I watched it twice. Did they ever use the cartwheel?
Not a once.
No, you know who did the cartwheel and terribly was Trinity during her lip sync.
What was that? That's a whole other issue. But yeah, was a very. It's funny that they had that segment at all. Because I was watching, I'm like, well, this is going to be important because it's going to be like when BB tried to jump on her dancer's lap and totally failed. So I'm like, well, this is definitely like a plot point that we're going to find a way around this. And then not a cartwheel to be found.
No. And what's funny is even the music video, they barely even referenced it. I think the only reference that you ever hear about it is when Michelle kind of reads Naomi for her simple lyrics. They don't even really reference the music video. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. But I think the actual song Super Queen is the only part I know is she's a super queen, super queen. And it's weird that we didn't have that between the lyrics just to kind of break it up, and they could have done the group number. I feel like they didn't all come together until the very end. Mm-hmm. And they highlighted, I think, Monet and Naomi each, but that was it. I don't know. It just feels like the final challenge was an afterthought media. It feels like the thing was just afterwards.
Yeah. So scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the music video for Super Queen?
I won't be going back to it, so that's got to be for the effort and the choreography, I'll give it like a 4.
That was my exact number.
Really? Yeah. I didn't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about it, but what did you, I mean, overall, did it feel like a conclusion?
No, just, you know, it's so funny. It feels like every other one, because All Stars 2, Reggie Wrote You just took my breath away, which is so funny because it's so simple. It's right there on the main stage. It's not even all the production value. Mm-hmm. It's just them on the main stage, you know? And then, and you know what? To be honest with you, I thought Kitty Girl was a home run.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. Okay. I don't know why All Stars 4, this one was. And like I said, the song Super Queen isn't – I have to listen to the whole song. I actually just put it on Spotify earlier today. I was listening to the whole thing. But it didn't seem like it was a bad song. They would have done the original one. They could have done something really cool with it. I don't know. It's sort of just like a letdown. It seems sort of like you said, not to quote name my own company, but afterthought. It seemed like an afterthought. Like, oh, yeah, I guess we got to do a choreographed number.
Mm-hmm.
So I 100% agree with you. It was very, very strange. And also, I will say, having the girls, the other queens back there, like, not lip syncing. What do you call that? Where you like fake guitar sync, you know? It was funny, but like, it was weird. I don't know. It was super bizarre. I don't know how I feel about it. All right. Well,
they gave them three looks. Like the old queens, they gave them three looks, like the workroom look, the stage look, and then the crowning look.
You brought something up. I think something was supposed to happen, or it did, and they cut it. Because do you remember, dear? I don't know what they call that segment when Rue's talking to them on the TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
She says, like, well, all my eyes have been on you, but she alluded that there have been other eyes on them. And then they go like, oh, what is she talking about? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then the queens are there when they come in the room and they sort of like say, like, oh, we're going to judge them. And they're like, what? And they're like, oh, we're kidding. Yeah. But then it was like, well, what was that weird Chekhov's gun they dropped on the TV screen?
Right.
You think that there was supposed to be that they were supposed to do more and then they changed their minds, or –
I really do think that it was a post-production. They were just like, how do we scramble to make this look right? I think there's a lot to be said. There's a lot on the editing room floor that we just didn't see that was cut because of something happened. I don't know.
Part of me wants to say, did you bring all of these drag queens back just to be like mime playing instruments in the back of a number?
Right. Yeah.
Funny, because I would have loved to, you know, like, what's funny, they did this stupid What's the Tea segment. I would have loved if they did, like, those, maybe they're not choosing, but they go in one by one and have a conversation with those three queens about what they think it means to be America's next, Hall of Fame member, yada, yada, yada. And then you see that segment instead of the What's the Tea segment. I would have rather seen that. Yeah. Almost like then they're going to report to Rue with their findings about the interview.
Right. A little like Kiki, and then they get to do that.
Yeah, and they go in one by one and just talk to them. Not a jury. They're not choosing anything. Then that would make more sense why you brought them there. But right now it seems like they just brought them there to be in the background of a music video.
Yeah, because I remember the role last year of Alaska and Chad was The Handmaid's Tale. So they were using them in each episode as like the little thing to move the quote unquote like plot forward. But mm-hmm. Yeah, this was just a weird it was weird to have them here without any rhyme or reason for it.
Yeah, hi, we're here. We brought you some alcohol. We're going to drink. Bye, later. We're out of here. Yeah. And then we're going to play music. And then that's the only time we ever see them.
Yeah.
Oh, and then they crowned them. They
came out for the crowning.
Yeah. It was super, super strange. Okay, now it's time for the looks. Jay, do you have the looks pulled up right there in front of you?
I do. I have them right here.
Okay, who's the first one down the runway?
The first one we had was Monet Exchange.
What was she wearing? The looks, actually, I forgot about them.
I'm going to go kind of just head down with her. So she had on that yarn wig that was kind of in an updo, kind of like beehive-y, but to the side. And then a over-the-shoulder, like one-shoulder dress that had leaves. And it was purple and teal, and it draped all the way down. It was a great gown, gorgeous gown. Mm-hmm. I think it's called a mermaid tail. I don't know if I'm right with that description. Really? I think where it's like very thin and then it explodes into tails.
It right now. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think this was, I've said this before, but I think that Monique this season has really just brought her best runway looks. Obviously. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not a good episode unless somebody's... What? Bob?
I have to constantly edit the episodes because I keep calling her Bob.
Oh, well, you're wrong. I meant Monet. Okay. Yeah, this was a really good look for her. And to have that turnaround and to have... I love when wigs are made out of different thing other than hair. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was just a really cool detail. And you could see the texture, the nude lip. Everything just looked really right for Monet. I thought this was a really great finale look.
Okay. Next, we have Monique Hart, I believe, is next, correct?
Monique Hart, yeah. Wearing her wig to put on a crown, mm-hmm. which I don't know how a crown would sit on that wig. It was pretty big. This was probably my least favorite of... Well, I've seen Monique look better, I guess. This was just okay. I think what would have really would have made this... Neck up, she's great, but I think that the material... is where I kind of missed some stuff. It looks just flat. Like on the camera, it reads flat. Mm-hmm. And even though you have those different, petals of fabric hanging from the waist, like bunched up, it really is a gorgeous dress. But I think that there are, there's ways to make it kind of catch the light a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, for me, actually, believe it or not, I actually like this look. I know I do agree that the bunching up in the middle makes her look thicker than you would need to. Mm-hmm. And that is sort of a problem, but I actually think a lot of times Monique suffered from her outfits look cheap or sloppily put together sometimes, or it doesn't look as good as the other queen. This is one of the few times I'm like, oh no, she's up there with the other girls looking, I hate the phrase, but like expensive.
Yeah, well, and I think that she avoids that looking blocky because she showing shoulders and she has like that darted chest piece, so it's kind of creating that illusion with the top part and then going into like a thinner silhouette, so it makes you know that she's lost 300 pounds, honey.
Okay, tutor boot for Monique.
For sure. For Monique, I would say it's still a toot. It's just I've seen better from her that I've liked better.
What about Monet?
Monet was a toot. These are all, spoiler, they're all toots for me.
Okay. You know what? All for me, they're all toots as well.
Okay,
I have
great.
Little quibbles here and there. So no more tooting and booty. We all gave toots. All right, here we go.
Elbows are fat.
Oops, Naomi Smalls. I don't know why the audio keeps going out. All right, here we go.
Naomi Smalls was in the purple, like layered. I don't even know how would you describe this? Like kind of. Voluminous. Yeah.
So voluminous. Yeah.
Voluminous. And then she has a reveal where she takes off essentially the whole bottom part and it becomes kind of a sequined bodysuit, but leotard, I guess, is more of an appropriate thing. I really liked how this moved down the runway, and I liked the proportions of the elbow pads because it's exaggerated. I think if it was any smaller, it would look kind of weird. Mm-hmm. I like the hat. I like the net. I think it is very like fashion catalog, and she stayed true to who Naomi is. So I think that it's a very successful final runway.
I agree.
Should have heard.
Why does it keep turning the volume up? I don't know. Here we go. Next, we have on the runway, we have, Trinity Taylor. Trinity the Tuck Taylor.
Import from Beijing. I my dream is to be on the judges panel so I could do quips with them. I thought that the joke about, oh, I thought that she was an A cup, but now I can see she's a T or whatever. I thought that was a very funny one. This print is amazing. I think it's so cool. I haven't seen anything like this before on the show. So I really liked that. I do want to say that from the neck up, I'm reading Melania Trump for Trinity.
Me too. I was seeing that too, because too much plastic surgery.
It's the face structure and the hair that she chose for both the lip sync and the runway. It was very Melania, Melania is pretty, but that's just where my mind goes, and it's not the association that I want to make with Drag Race. But the dress itself, I thought it's fun to have classy meets clever or like comedy with that, the teacups on the boobs. I think it's a great dress, and yeah. I think it's again one of the stronger looks that I've seen Trinity pull.
All right, well, I agree with you. The only thing I didn't like was, I think I liked it better with, I know I liked the gag of it all, but I think I liked it with the piece in the front.
Agreed. Yes.
I think I liked it better with that. Okay, well, that was the looks. All right, moving on. Back on the main stage, there was praise all around from the judges before the queens were asked why they should be placed in the Hall of Fame. Everyone gives answers that no one listens to, and then the girls retire to the workroom as the judges deliberate. There is more wasted time before the girls are called back one more time. Immediately, RuPaul eliminates Monique and Naomi Smalls. That leaves Monet Exchange and Trinity the Tuck as the top two queens, and one more lip sync battle for their ultimate legacy. The song, Fighter, by Christina Aguilera. In the end, it was all a waste of time as RuPaul named both Monet Exchange and Trinity the Tuck the winners of All Stars Season 4 after Buzz TV's Jay Ellis. What are your final thoughts on the episode? What are your final thoughts on the season?
I liked the choice for the lip sync song. I thought Fighter by Christina Aguilera is a very good song, and it actually shows the capabilities of a queen because it's kind of spoken word and lyrics, so it's fun, and there's a lot of ad-libs for the queens to play with. Mm-hmm. If we were going off of just the lip sync alone, Monet took that lip sync for me.
Yeah,
that was not pound the alarm level of Monet, but that was, I was captivated and watched Monet the entire time. And for Trinity to attempt a cartwheel on that final runway when she doesn't think it's going to be good is a wild choice. Like, I don't know where, something must have just been going through her head, like the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And she just thought that it was a good idea at the time. But I just don't, I mean, that was the only time that I really looked to Trinity, which is hard to do because Trinity is one of my favorite lip syncers on the show. I think that she mm-hmm. consistently has brought good energy and knows the lyrics and stuff. So Monet, though, did take this lip sync. I thought that was the clear winner if they were going to go off just that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the entire finale and stuff, I mean, we could talk about it ad nauseum. I just don't love the double win. I appreciate that the show is sending the message that we can have more than one winner, but it just seems at that point of the competition without the lead up, without any guesses that is going to be it, it just looked like the show was trying to right a wrong, and that's just how I'm going to read it.
I agree with you.
What did you think?
I think I completely agree with you. I think Monet's lip sync was better. I feel like with Trinity, you know, one of the problems with doing so on All Stars is all your lip sync tricks get seen.
Right.
And so I felt like I've seen all these moves from Trinity before. So it wasn't anything new. And then you're right. If we believe what she says, that what we saw on the main stage was her doing a cartwheel for the first time, why would you make your second time the lip sync for the crown of All Stars 4? It was very, very strange. And all the moves where she crouches down, and every move, I've seen that move. I've seen it on the finale of season 9. I've seen it multiple times this season. But yet where I felt Monet brought something new. I will say, I think this was on the music video. I should have mentioned it there. I'm sick of this fucking sponge. But look, she played it down. She brought it back today. Okay, whatever. It would have been so much better, though, if she would have never mentioned it until the finale. Wouldn't mm-hmm. that have been better? Anyway.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't buy into the narrative that this cheapens the crown, because I feel more and more now we're having that argument all the time. Oh, Aquaria winning, that cheapens the crown. Sasha winning, that cheapens the crown, because, you know, the lip sync, that people don't like the lip sync battles at the end of the finales. And so I don't buy into that. You know, we'll eventually just accept Monet and Trinity as the winners of All-Star Season 4. But it does do a disservice to Monet Exchange because, yes, now it seems there's always an asterisk, same thing with Trinity, by their name for their win because it was split. And maybe not deserve, and there will always be the whispers like, well, Trinity deserved the win, but we sort of gave it to you as sort of like a token if you will, which I think African-Americans and other people of color are very sensitive to be seen as tokens. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be seen as tokens. They don't want to see affirmative action. It's so funny. Co-host of the show, Larry Flick, you know, he was very much against affirmative action in RuPaul's Drag Race. That was the point he made in one of the very first episodes. You know, this is a competition show where you judge on the merit. And what the impression is, whether it was or not, the impression is indelible that it comes off as affirmative action. And that does a disservice to both Trinity and does a disservice to both Monet. But at the end of the day, it's a drag competition show. And who the fuck cares? I still need to pay my bills. And, and what's funny is in a week, we're going to have a whole batch of 15 new queens that we're going to talk about and argue about. And that's the thing, too, is at the end of the day, no one thinks about these All-Stars queens. They always get overshadowed because a week later, there's a whole new competition.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I couldn't tell you one thing apart from Ben quitting the show and is she going to jump from there and all these different quotes from All Stars 3. I couldn't tell you a single thing from All Stars 3.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to the format. I think that we're due for a refresher for the All Stars format if they are going to do this again. I think we need to let the pool fill up a little bit more with new queens. Mm-hmm. So that way, like I would say, wait just 3 years and let us really get the crop of some of the best queens around. Yeah. I know they're not going to, or even do like since we're doing UK, we could pull some from there as well and just get like a global, kind of a global brand. And it might introduce people to who don't watch the UK version. If mm-hmm. they're on All Stars, it might get them new fans. I think there's ways to keep this franchise fresh. I know they tried with All Stars 3 to do the jury thing. And that's just, this isn't the type of show that does it because it's gay men who are bitchy and they don't want to let other people win. But I think that All Stars 2 was so successful because it broke the formula. And I think if they want to keep doing that, they have to change that format and keep thinking of ways to keep the show fresh.
But you know what's so funny is I've thought about what you said before. There's a couple solutions that I have. One, they should probably implement for the real Baseball Hall of Fame, it has to be 5 years before you can be considered after you've retired.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go that long, but there should be maybe like a 3-year, like I think you just mentioned this, a 3-year gap between when you're finished your run on the show and when you appear in All Stars,
or three season gap where it's a year and a half basically.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, a 3-season gap or something where it's like 2 to 3 years before you've been on the show. So in other words, I would say no one should be considered for All Stars for next year, for All Stars 5, anyone pre-season but post-season 8. It should be 8 below. Should be the only ones. And the other thing is, don't be afraid to bring back former All Stars. You could make a killer lip sync, season with people from All Stars 2, All Stars 1, and All Stars 3, and All Stars 4, the people who didn't make it. You could do like an amazing season of people who just didn't make it all the way through. You know, like the people that were talking about people who got robbed, you know, they could come back for an amazing All Star season. Don't be afraid to use them more than once. We're not tired of seeing them, not even Latrice. We love seeing them interact. Don't be afraid of that. I'd rather see Detox for the 3rd or 4th time than see Pheromone or I like seeing Jasmine Masters, but seeing Pheromone or, you know, James Mansfield or someone who's not as deserved. I don't need to see April Carry on again.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're naked on Instagram. But you know what's so funny too? I feel like this episode and the last couple of episodes, ever since Post Manila actually, have been a disappointment. It's almost been like a petering out of what was an amazing season. I think All Stars 4, when you take the average episode, was far better than All Stars 3.
Yeah.
It's just the last few episodes. I wouldn't even say the last few episodes were really weak. It was just they were like, meh, and then Manila went home, and it just sort of seemed like last week's episode was a dud after that, and then today was just like, just
I think that speaks to Manila being a narrator and one of the great talking heads. And I don't even think she could have saved that Sex and the Kitty challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Or Kitty, whatever. I don't think if she was involved. Oh, Kitty Girl. I don't think that she would have been able to save anything in that. But it's just it turned into they had to depend more on Naomi to be a narrator versus a Manila and mm-hmm. Latrice. And I don't know. It's just as the people get whittled down. I mean, Monique can only pull so much. Monet can only pull so much. So they can't just keep using them. It's kind of like when they started introducing Cameron Michaels as the narrator. You're like, oh, yeah.
Other person that existed. Yeah.
Right.
Jay, have you said everything you have to say about this episode, about this season?
Yeah. I want to mirror what you said, where this season, what I think it was a fun season to watch. The finale, I don't want to say it was disappointing because I always enjoy it, but it was a little lackluster. Like, I don't know if I'm going to hold it as in high as of esteem, but I'm proud of Monet and Trinity. I think they both did great, and I'm happy that they're able to share a title, even if I think Trinity was kind of more of the clear winner.
All right, very good. Well, I want everyone to know a couple. Well, first of all, Jay, where can everybody find you? Because you're on the outros now. There's no plugs anymore. We can find you on Twitter. Where are you at on Twitter?
Twitter is still _jealous, and that's JELLIS. And I really like conversations with people, like when they're talking about the show. So if you guys heard something on here that you disagree with, let me know. And I'll ignore that.
Every time we're on Twitter, Jay's having a conversation with the most random person, it'll be like someone else, it'll be like a famous person. I always have the check mark by the name, and he'll be like, "I don't like lettuce." And Jay will be like, "Oh, really? Have you tried escarole?" I'm like, "What? What?
I love escarole." Don't joke about that.
And then what about your Instagram?
Instagram is don't_be_jealous, spelt the same way, JELLIS. I don't post often, but you know.
But when you do, no shirt.
What do you think I'm not wearing right now?
Are you really not wearing a shirt right now?
No, I think I do, but it has holes in it, so it's kind of like Swiss cheese on my body.
And I want everyone to know this right now. We didn't really get into the show. Jay is under a lot of stress right now. I'll just say that. Jay's under very stress. And I will say on a personal note, Jay, you are a stand-up guy in very many ways. He could have canceled today. He's under a lot of stress. And I appreciate it personally, professionally. And it shows you guys what a good friend Jay Ellis is to the show and to me personally. So thank you, Jay.
Well, honestly, it's like this. It's, you can either sit there and think about whatever's going on, or you can have a good time like talking with a friend about one of the best shows on TV. And I chose the latter, and I'm really happy I did, because you, and thank you so much. You've been incredible. But this really did help for like the past, what have we been doing, like an hour and a half? It's just, I haven't even really, it's just been great. It's been fun to talk about. So thank you.
All right. Well, I hope everything turns out for the best. Guys, we will see you. And what's funny, this is the last of having to find a random co-host. Starting on February 28th, it's going to be myself and Pod is My Co-Pilot's Taylor. You know that hit podcast, Pod is My Co-Pilot? Taylor the Latte Boy, the host of that show, will be the permanent host for season 11. Every week, me and Taylor the Latte Boy talking about RuPaul's Drag Race. Season 11. Well, that concludes this season of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 4. I want to thank all of the many co-hosts who have helped me this season, including Larry Flick, Taylor the Latte Boy, Jamila Zara, and of course, my bestie, my best Judy, Jay Ellis. So for all of them and myself,
sashay away. Until next season.
Until next season, that's right. Want to share your thoughts about Drag Race? Email us at dragracerecap@gmail.com. The outro music was written by Lucian Piani and arranged and performed by Alex Lefebvre. You can find Alex Lefebvre on Instagram at Alex Lefebvre Music. That's AlexLefevremusic. For up-to-the-minute news about the show, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/dragracerecap and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Drag Race Recap. You can also support the show at patreon.com/dragracerecap. Finally, to find all of our old episodes, visit our website at dragracerecap.com.